This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. A Detroit Free Press story revealed some interesting perks in the contract with the now-resigned Michigan State University president, Luana Simon. Some of them are lifetime benefits, such as free tickets for her and her husband to some sporting events, reduced prices for others, including bowl games, parking passes for life for on-campus and at all home sport and cultural events. We wanted to find out just how unusual this contract was compared to other public university presidents. James Finkelstein is a professor emeritus at George Mason University. He's reviewed more than 200 contracts of university presidents. Welcome.
Thanks, Lester.
So what strikes you as the most unusual about the contract MSU has with Luana Simon?
Well, there are a couple of things that stand out. Obviously, these lifetime perks that you've mentioned, which are not really very significant in terms of their value, but we've never seen a contract that has gone to that level of specificity to say, for instance, that a president and their spouse or partner, when the president steps down, for instance, would get lifetime courtside seats to women's volleyball games. That just doesn't happen. Usually what happens with a university president is if they stay at their university, they get an emeritus title, or if they retire, they get an emeritus title, and they get the benefits that any other emeritus faculty member would get. Usually that would include access to the library, you know, continued access to your email, maybe reduced parking fees, but no one else who steps down from their executive position or retires from a university in any of the presidential contracts we've seen have asked for those kinds of benefits.
Well, let's talk about some specifics that was pointed out in the Free Press article. If she returns to faculty, she also gets paid for a year at the presidential level, but can take a year-long leave of research at a salary of $750,000 a year. How typical is that?
We're seeing presidential sabbaticals as increasingly common in contracts. It's probably specified in about half of the contracts that we see. We think the practice is more common than that. What's unusual about this contract is that for the first year, the former president would return to the faculty. She would still be getting her full presidential salary. So she would be getting that salary for 2 years, whereas typically a president would get that for just their year of sabbatical. It wouldn't be until the third year that their salary would be reduced by some amount. In the case of Michigan State, they've chosen to have the salary be a percentage of the presidential salary, which is one of the two ways that those salaries are established. The other is to have it be pegged to the highest paid faculty member or the average of a group of highly paid faculty members in the university.
Yeah, in this case, though, she's getting paid quite a bit more than the highest paid faculty member of the university.
Yes, I looked at that, and will be making about $130,000 more than the highest paid faculty member, according to MLive.com database, an individual who's a very distinguished, internationally renowned physicist. And she'll be making well more than twice the salary of the most highly paid faculty member in the College of Education, which I assume would be where the former president would return to the faculty, because her degree is in education.
So let's back up just a little bit, a wider perspective. Why do these public sector employees get these kind of substantial and lifelong benefits? Why are university presidents so special?
Well, I think that the reason that would be given, and I'm not saying I agree with this, but if you talk to the people who help them negotiate these contracts or the search firms that identify these individuals, they say they need to provide these benefits in order to recruit the best and brightest individuals to lead these institutions. But the fact of the matter is, what we've seen over the last decade is an increasing, what I call the CEOization of university presidents. That is, their compensation, their employment agreements, their benefits have begun to look more and more like that of a corporate CEO than of a university president. The question is the one you ask. These are, in the case of our public universities, these are public executives. There are no other public executives that we hire that receive these kinds of benefits. For instance, if the Secretary of Transportation in the state of Michigan steps down from his or her position, they don't get any of these benefits. They move on to another job or they retire. the governor doesn't receive, you know, these kinds of benefits beyond their term. So it is a real question about why this one group of public executives should be treated differently than any other public executive. I can tell you, as a retired administrator and faculty member from my university, from George Mason University, I didn't receive any lifetime benefits that were of value. I got to keep my email account. I got to have access to the university library. I get a discount on parking if I decide I want to go to campus and have lunch with friends. But that's it. And that's how most university faculty are treated when they retire.
Besides what we've talked about, are there other oddities about this Michigan State contract with Luana Simon? I understand there are some things that are usually included, like really specific how you get out of the house, who's responsible for moving from the president's house, things like that. They're not in this contract?
No, they're not. And increasingly, we see those issues addressed. So when a president leaves, they can leave a university in one of five ways. They can resign. The board can terminate them without cause, that is, they just decide they want to make a change. They can be terminated for cause, that is, they have done something wrong. They can become disabled, or sadly, in some cases, they can die. The best practice in contracts that we've seen addresses each of those issues specifically and what happens under each of those scenarios. We would address moving out of the presidential house. What's the timeline? If the president has a car, what happens to the car? If the president has a country club membership, as in this case the contract allowed for, what happens to that country club membership? None of those things are addressed in the contract. I suspect those are the kinds of things that are going to be discussed with the board this afternoon in their meeting in terms of how the separation between the former president and the university is going to take place.
So just overall, give us an idea, is this contract really out of step with other presidential contracts, university presidential contracts?
Well, I think you have to take into account the fact that you have a long-serving president who has, by all public accounts, been well-liked and successful. She is among the half dozen or so most highly paid public university presidents in the country in terms of base salary. You know, her contract is among the richest that we've seen. But perhaps the reason that it isn't as sophisticated as it might be in terms of protecting the interests of the university and the citizens of Michigan is because the individual has been there for so long that her relationship with the board may well have been more a view that the board is working for her as opposed to she is working for the board. And that's always a challenge where you have a volunteer board of trustees, and the president has been in that position for a very, very long period of time. It's not uncommon for a board to defer to the president on many, many, many issues.
James Finkelstein has researched a couple of hundred university presidents' contracts. He's a professor emeritus at the Schar School of Policy and Government at George Mason University. Thanks for taking time to talk to us.
Thank you.